All right, we are looking at, and this is unusual for us to do something like this, because it's quite political, and we're not here to talk politics, though so much of it overlaps with what we're facing as Christians. But in this particular case, this is getting into the church. And so when it gets into the church and starts negatively impacting the church, it's something that needs to be dealt with. Let me give you an example of what happened in years past. This progressive movement, obviously it's much more radical now than it was, but back in the early 20s of the last century, okay, 100 years ago, there was a wave of liberalism that began to attack the church. If you recall, now we're Southern Baptists, do you remember when the Southern Baptists became very liberal? Do you remember that? Seminaries were taken over by men that no longer preached the Word of God in its entirety. And really, I thought the Southern Baptist movement was lost forever, because normally when something goes that direction, it never comes back. But there were some really, really godly men who became president of the convention, and over time it turned around. Men like Adrian Rogers, who turned it back to God. And now there's this new threat that's infiltrating the church and impacting the convention. I have not found out exactly what happened, if the meeting, if it was dealt with or what. I've got to do some research on that. But anyway, back in the 100 years ago, there was a movement in churches. Mainline denominations like Methodists became very social. They still used, and Lutheran Church, I was reading, another good example, used a lot of the same terminology, but did not define it the same way. And so churches got away from preaching salvation in Christ and Christ alone, got away from preaching on the cleansing power of the blood of Christ, and churches became social clubs. To this day, we still see a lot of that, don't we? Gretchen Manchin, you heard him, not Manchin like the Machen, M-A-C-H-E-N. He was a preacher and an author back then, and he warned. He said, hey, we're getting away from the precepts of the Word of God. The church is turning liberal. This is bad news. And basically, conservative voices did very little. And what happened? It ruined a lot of churches, and a lot of people had been duped into this social side of the church instead of the biblical side. The Word of God became, rather than what it is to us, absolute truth, it became a hodgepodge, kind of like a smorgasbord. You pick what you want, call it the Word of God. Parts you didn't like, you just ignored it or said it was. For instance, miracles, the creation week, Noah's flood, that was a fable. All this kind of stuff happened. Miracles of Christ. Even some denied the resurrection of Christ, said it was a bodily resurrection, said it was just a spirit resurrection. So that's why, rather than put our heads back in the sand and not deal with this CRT and woke stuff and watch it destroy, because it is coming into evangelical, conservative evangelical churches. It's got to be stopped. All right, so with that in mind, let me again recommend. I've got another book this week to add to the list of recommendations. Pete Hegseth, if I'm saying it right or not, you're familiar with him, Fox News, war vet, very, very sharp guy, has a large family. I think he's got like 7 kids. He just came out with a book. It's brand new, hot off the press. Matter of fact, I think the ink's still wet on this one. Battle for the American Mind, Uprooting a Century of Miseducation. And it's about the education system, the public school system. And it goes all the way back to those early years And I was amazed. I knew that things got bad around 62, 63 when prayer was thrown out, Bible was thrown out of schools. No, no, no. Things were happening long before that. This will open your eyes to things that have been going on for over 100 years. This is all planned, and it's not a conspiracy theory book. It's based upon fact. So write it down if you'd like to get one, Battle for the American Mind, Uprooting a Century of Miseducation. I mentioned this, I don't know if last week or I think I ordered it and got it this week, can't remember. Anyway, The War in the West, Douglas Murray. This is an excellent book that talks about how basically the foundations of not just America, but all of like Western Europe, etc., how it's under attack, it's under siege. Remember what Obama said? He wanted to fundamentally change America. That's all part of the plan. It's in the book. Again, it's not conspiracy theory stuff. This is based upon fact, well documented, and I think you will find it eye-opening. Because the only way we can stop what is happening is to know what it's about. And I'm not going to spend weeks here in Sunday school. We got to get back in Deuteronomy. I'm trying to, basically what this is about is whetting your appetite. That's what it's about. I want you to become, if you're not already, very interested in it, to be interested enough to research it out so we can fight this. Now, thankfully, we're beginning to see the tide change. Okay? We're beginning to see things. People are waking up, and I will bring some of that out. I wanted to start out this morning. Remember the book that this is kind of based on, what we're talking about, is Christianity and Wokeness. A relatively new book, I think it came out last year. Owen Strachan wrote this book. I think he was on staff, not sure, but I know he's linked with John MacArthur. John MacArthur wrote the foreword, which I'm going to read. I'm going to do some reading today. Please don't be bored by it. I didn't know any other way to handle it, to be able to say enough to make an impact, and rather than rewrite it and try to reword it, I'm just going to give it to you in the author's words. I'm not going to sit here and read chapters. Don't misunderstand me. I'm going to glean through some things. And then next week, I want to get into the biblical response to it. Okay? Because we need to know, what does the Bible really say about it? And how can we fight it with the Word of God? So I'm only going to touch the hem of the garment. You're going to have to get the book and do some research on your own if you'd like to learn more about it. All right, this foreword by John MacArthur, it's not long, but it really nails it down. This is why we're dealing with what we're doing in this short little 4 or so week time frame we're spending in this. Critical race theory, and remember the whole gamut is called wokeism. You know, it's the idea of being woke, and we'll define that more as we go. Critical race theory has been an aggressive force in academic circles since the late 80s, radically affecting the way many college professors, politicians, millennials, and students from Generation Z view the world, especially Western culture. CRT is basically neo-Marxism. Remember we defined Marxism. We talked about how this falls right into the philosophy of Marxism. Marxism, has it ever worked? It's failed every single place it's been tried. It has destroyed countries, and it has led to the slaughter of multiple millions of people. Millions of people. CRT is basically neo-Marxism on postmodernist steroids. A deeply uncongenial point of view, cynically weaponized for the deconstruction and dismantling of social structures. Wherever it's introduced, CRT deliberately provokes and feeds on disunity. That in itself, by the way, the fact that it leads always, always to disunity. Does the Bible call for disunity? What does the Bible call for? Unity, especially among God's people. But it doesn't unify God's people, it divides. It intensifies ethnic hostility, promotes crass identity politics, foments resentment, and imputes guilt or victimhood to people according to their skin color. In recent years, even among people who have never consciously heard of CRT, the values and vocabulary of this worldview have become familiar elements in everyday discourse. Buzzwords like systemic racism, implicit bias, whiteness, white privilege, cultural appropriation, colonialization, microaggression, and social justice constitute the essential vernacular of critical race theory. These terms are now fairly commonplace around the water cooler, on the nightly news, across the spectrum of social media, and recently even in church. And that's where the problem lies. The prevalence of so much CRT jargon and the widespread embrace of the ideas those expressions represent shows how thoroughly this way of thinking has become ensconced in our culture and in so many minds. It is especially disappointing and disconcerting to see doctrines borrowed recently from CRT infect the church and spread so quickly. In recent years, many leading evangelical voices have begun to parrot critical race theorists, suggesting, for example, that Christians in this generation will never fully be able to fulfill the command to love our neighbors until we glean from the lessons and language taught by the purveyors of CRT. They claim CRT hands Christians, and I quote, a set of analytical tools that explain how race has and continues to function in society. Many have insisted that these indispensable tools can aid in evaluating a variety of human experience in a way that presumably Scripture cannot. Let me ask you this. Is Scripture sufficient? Does the Bible contain everything we need in faith and practice? But yet, according to CRT, no. We need more. Even though the predictable and inescapable result of CRT is division, it has lately been aggressively promoted, even by ministries that were originally founded on the principle that Christian unity is an essential expression of gospel faith. Church leaders who would self-identify as gospel-centered seem to have shifted the actual focus of their message to social justice. Sound familiar what happened in 1923 on? Churches began to embrace social justice, abandoning the clear teachings of Scripture, abandoning a clear presentation of the gospel. And so now there are churches all around our nation that gather together every Sunday and never ever hear how they can know for sure when they die they're going to heaven. Year after year after year, the gospel message in its simplicity and its clarity is foreign to them. It all started by the progressive liberals all the way back 100 years ago that has drugged millions of people straight to the depths of hell. And that's exactly what this could do. That's how serious this is. That's why we're dealing with it. He said, church leaders who would self-identify as gospel-centered seem to have shifted the actual focus of their message to social justice and other themes borrowed from CRT's tapestry of pet issues. Meanwhile, gospel doctrines like original sin, atonement, justification, and the glory of Christ are being eclipsed by lectures about social inequities, ethnic injustices that can never fully be atoned for. There is no grace in CRT. There is no cleansing and forgiveness in CRT. It is a lifetime of admitting guilt and working tirelessly out in the community trying to undo the racial injustices that they deem to be true. What an awful thing. We have to live our lives filled and racked with guilt over something that many of us would say, I thought all this was past tense, and we went through the civil rights movement, went through legislation to take care of injustices And I thought things were going really well. There's all, I mean, as long as there's human beings and there's sin, there's going to be racism, right? And it goes both ways. I mean, you mean there are no black people that hate white people? There is no racism the other way? Of course there is, because we're human beings. And people that don't know the Lord are filled with hatred in many cases. And we all have a propensity for evil because we have a sin nature, don't we? So, I mean, it's shocking to me that this has gone as far as it's gone. Let me back up again. Meanwhile, gospel doctrines, original sin, etc., and the glory of Christ are being eclipsed by lectures about social inequities, ethnic injustices that can never fully be atoned for, but for which reparations should nevertheless be paid. In many pulpits across the evangelical movement, gospel language is being supplanted by socialist rhetoric. It is especially frustrating this is happening among formerly conservative evangelicals, even while observant critics in the secular realm have begun to see and point out the destructive tendencies of CRT. Some of the keenest minds in the academic world have begun to marshal their energies using scholarship and satire to expose the dangerous fallacies of the system. Critical race theorists have argued that math education is inherently racist. Now, why would that be? It sounds like if you go to explain that, it's going to sound racist. I mean, to me, if math is racist, that means you're saying there are certain groups of people that can't do math. Doesn't measure up. Critical race theorists have argued that math education is inherently racist, that the very notion of objective truth is rooted in white supremacy. So objective truth, truth that is undeniable, like the Word of God, according to critical race theorists, is rooted in white supremacy, and that Western values, moral standards in particular, are tools of oppression. According to CRT, every major aspect of our culture is riddled with racism. The divisive effects of such a worldview are now obvious. CRT has not helped, much less healed, social strife and ethnic divisions. Crime is up in the big cities. We had the riots in 2020, destruction of property, killing of police, killing of others, burning down of businesses. Doesn't sound like it's really done a whole lot of healing. What do you think? We have a president that has had promised unity. How's that worked out? The reason it's not working out, among many reasons, is the fact that this junk is being pumped in every facet of society, including the government. And I'll bring some of that out this morning, give you some examples so you don't think I'm just making it up. It has made those problems exponentially worse. Perceptive people have noticed. In the realms of politics and education, CRT is finally being held up to critical scrutiny by a few articulate and influential academicians. I use that word all the time. And thought leaders. Unfortunately, evangelicals, and I love this, listen to this. This is the humor of McCarthy. He can be funny. Unfortunately, evangelicals, always late to every party, are enthusiastically jumping on another cultural bandwagon just as its wheels are about to come off. As an analytical tool, CRT has no more use than a wrecking ball. It can demolish core social structures and leave society itself in ruins, but it cannot clean up the mess, much less build anything worthwhile. And he goes on to talk about you. All right, so with that in mind, the Word of God says in Colossians 2:8, see to it, and this, I don't know what translation this is, see to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit. according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. We instead are to destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5. All right, so how is wokeness entering the culture? And I am delighted that you've asked. Listen to this. You're not going to believe it. Are you ready? You buckled in? In a famous training session captured on video in 2016, a speaker named Ashley Shackelford. You ever hear of her? I haven't either. She said she opposed racism in memorable fashion. Standing before a room of women, many of them white, Shackelford bluntly told them that all white people are racist. Now, what does that make her? If you say that everyone's a racist, what are you? Yeah, she's a racist. So right there, I would have turned her off. Click, it's off. Not only that, but she pronounced that they had no real hope of changing. See, no repentance. Even if one is a racist, they cannot repent and be cleansed and go on. Nope. There's no cleansing. Not going to happen. No, you're always going to be racist, actually, she said, even when you're on a path to be a better human being. The video went viral. It shocked many and seemed like an outlier a few years ago. In truth, it laid out the core program of the system that I call wokeness. In this system, there's no grace, there's no love, there's grievance, resentment, condemnation. Shackelford revealed as much in her next comments. Get ready. I believe all, and I'm quoting her, I believe all white people are born into not being human. And then she went on to say, white people grow up to be demons. She actually said that. Now, I know this sounds strong, and probably in many leftist circles it probably is. They may not say it verbally, but believe me, they believe it if they've bought into this CRT woke nonsense. So, according to standard woke ideology, I'm trouble with the big words, you know, I'm pretty simplistic. In general terms, white people are racist, the historic oppressors of others, and thus as a collective unit, white people are guilty. As Shackelford made clear, there is no real solution for this guilt. There is only acknowledgement of it, ongoing awareness of it, and the undertaking of certain works to oppose one's nature as a white person. So what was exactly transpiring in this strange video? Wokeness was advancing. The movement loosely called wokeness is now making many inroads into secular society. It is also infiltrating the church, with many social media users being polled to affirm wokeness through hashtags, social media statements, and other means. Such action may at first blush to seem to fit with a compassionate response to cultural trends, including clashes with police, unrest in different places. They claim that wokeness is the way forward for the church. Robert D'Angelo, White Fragility, wrote a book, Why It's So Hard for White People to Talk About Racism, said, whites hold the social and institutional positions in society to infuse their racial prejudice into the laws, the policies, the practices, and norms of society in a way that people of color do not. And I mentioned what happened to the church back in the beginning in the 20s, 1920s, where liberalism retained the vocabulary of traditional Christianity but changed the meaning of the terms. That's exactly what wokeism. Wokeism does use some of the terms that we would deem to be good. Equity, that sounds good, doesn't it? Equality, equity, fairness, justice, and even some of the terms in the Word of God. Well, the church faces a new challenge. Built on critical race theory, wokeness uses theological language and sometimes even the very system of Christian theology, but of course they leave out grace and they leave out God. Christianity without God, that sounds kind of worthless, doesn't it? All right, so in order to know what wokeness is, let me tell you what it isn't. Now, as I read this list, and this is from the author, I want you to notice that what is here is really Bible. Now, remember, this is what wokeness is not. Wanting societal harmony across backgrounds and skin colors does not make you woke. Wanting peace in fiery settings with a history of ethnic tension does not make you woke. Seeing massive failings in American and Western history, namely long-sustained patterns of racist thought and practice, does not make you woke. Being troubled by Christians' complicity with racism in the past does not make you woke. Adopting children from a different region or with a different skin color does not make you woke, nor does interracial marriage make you woke. Grieving the needless deaths of human beings who are made in the image of God and bear God-given dignity and purpose does not make you woke. Doing everything you can and know to do to build bonds with different people, people different from you in various ways does not make you woke. Enjoying global culture and those that differ from your own background does not make you woke. Knowing that Jesus Christ was a Middle Eastern Jew and not a white American with flowing golden locks does not make you woke. Praying for greater diversity in your church through the saving of fellow sinners does not make you woke. Wanting greater justice in a world that is filled with hostility, pain, and injustice does not make you woke. Working to be more thoughtful with one's language regarding personal differences, that doesn't make you woke. Recognizing that you have in yourself the sinful potential to spew the hate of partiality and to act on this in short-term or long-term ways does not make you woke. Identifying troubling trends of partiality in one's national, regional, communal, or familial heritage does not make you woke, nor does wanting to leave such evil behind. And then lastly, rejoicing in gospel-driven fellowship across all common boundary markers in this world does not make you woke. So it seems kind of helpless, doesn't it? CRT does not offer much hope. So if we embrace this ungodly ideology, I'm having trouble with my words still, is to lose Christianity however long the takeover takes. So we face a hard bargain. Now, many Christians are susceptible to being co-opted by wokeness, their Christianity remaining intact externally, but with a new internal host. So we need discernment. Again, Christianity and wokeness share some common vocabulary, even though it's defined differently. Words like justice, love, unity. What is unity? Or more broadly, the author asks, what does it mean to be human? To answer this question, we can't ask people around us. We can't go to seminars or conventions. In order to answer these kinds of questions, we have to go to the Word of God. Something they don't do. Our dependence on Scripture is intentional, unmissable. Though many today operate as if academic theory and social activism should supplement Christian thought and practice, guess what? The Bible is sufficient in all these things. Simply put, the Bible gives us exactly what we need to find unity, hope, and justice in this world. We don't need less Bible. We need more Bible. Remember, wokeness is first and foremost a mindset and a posture. The term itself means that one is awake to the true nature of the world when so many others sleep. It means one sees a comprehensive inequity of our social order and strives to highlight power structures in society that stem from racial privilege. Wokeness occurs when one embraces the system of thought mentioned above called critical race theory. So CRT teaches that all of societal life is structured along racial power dynamics. So everything is racist. Our whole system is bad. It all needs to be overthrown and redone. They teach that race is basically America's original sin that has led to America's, race is America's original lie that has led to America's original sin, which is racism. Systemic racism can only be, they teach, addressed through political and economic means. Then and now, white people think of themselves as superior to black people. This is the disease of whiteness. While whiteness is a mentality, it is predominantly believed and practiced by white people. This is what they say. CRT theorists and activists argue that a racist America creates the conditions that we're seeing. Violence by police, disproportionate incarceration of minorities, unfair housing, which, by the way, is blatantly false. And could I throw out that we're talking about a very small minority of our nation? Doesn't mean they're not equally important. We're all equal in the eyes of God, and we all deserve the same liberties and justice. Supposed to be for all, right? But should we change everything from the ground up because a very small group of people want to change? Now, if there are inequities and injustice, yeah, they should be fixed, of course. It's like this transgender nonsense in the LGBTQ 2 plus 1 equals 3, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, you would think that 90% of America is trans. I mean, we're in the middle of a month where we're celebrating these things. Saw a video of a parade, little kids holding rainbow flags sitting along the parade route, and some guy with breasts twerking. You know what twerking is, where you shake your buta, right in the face, had a little, a thong on, and right in, little kid, probably 8 years old, and he's shaking his worthless butt in front of that little kid. And that's celebrated in our nation. And if you don't celebrate it, you're homophobic and probably throwing racist too. Just throw that in there. See, as far as I'm concerned, since no matter what I do or say, I'm white, so I'm racist, why should I care? Be called a racist anyway, because I'm white. So it doesn't mean that I'm going to become racist. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But I'm saying, we should not cower in fear because somebody says we're racist, then we try to defend ourselves, and then they say, you know, lean into the, you know, the discomfort, and, you know, that just demonstrates your guilt because you're getting angry over it because you're a racist. So why even worry about it? Just do right. Kendi, if you see anything about Kendi, K-E-N-D-I, Ibram Kendi, he's the leading woke theorist today. He said, the most threatening racist moment is not the alt-right's unlikely drive for a white ethno-state, but regular Americans' drive for a race-neutral one. You know, the Martin Luther King Jr. said we should judge people not by the color of their skin, but the content of their character. They consider that racist. That's not good enough. Sorry. That just shows you are racist. In some ways, racism's adaptations over time are more sinister than concrete rules like Jim Crow, which, of course, Jim Crow, all of the segregation stuff that went on, which, by the way, was propagated mainly by Democrats. You might want to throw that in there. If you can still find history that's accurate, check it out. They fought more against rescinding Jim Crow laws than any Americans. They went kicking and screaming to the bitter end in the mid-60s when finally the Johnson, who was a Democrat, but it was pushed through a Republican. The Republicans were more for it. So race neutral is not enough. Woke. In actuality, it saves its strongest firepower not for extraordinary offenders, but for ordinary men and women who live quiet, normal lives. And he goes on to talk about, you know, that housewife that stays home with the kids and doesn't have a racist bone in her body. She thinks she's white. She's racist. And she needs to repent every day and get out in the community and hold signs and do everything she can. America today is worse than in the days of Jim Crow, he said. White fragility in all its disguises are to blame. Not willing to fess up. All right, I think you get the idea. According to them, woke are righteous. The white are guilty. There's no common grace in wokeness. If you look to find it, you won't. And we're guilty just because we're part of a majority culture. All right, questions, comments? And I didn't think I'd get four, and I didn't. Got a few things I'm going to share specifics, and then I want to get into the Word of God about it, and then we're going to stop. Again, if you have an interest in it, if you want to learn more, I think you're getting an idea of what we're up against. Haven't given much, but gave a little. Anybody? All right, let's go over the prayer list together.